416-1063.
Blog Talk Radio.
With the Fred House network over the last 24 hours. So we're going to push forward. I would like to climb. And you can do that by the phone and making a call here in 2669. If you a friend or two earlier who messaged me that they might be streaming in live, are streaming in live, and are hit up the Skype button and join us. All right. So we'll take a quick look around. You know, here we go. It's NASCAR centric this week. There is no answer. We will kind of as we go through the hour, but it's more NASCAR centric. And obviously, according to the countdown, this break before the chase, going to be kicking it up this evening on the Xfinity side at a Richmond International Speedway, and of course, in the evening with the guys. So it's do or die for we're gonna talk about who's on the bubble, get in, who maybe get in, what it appears to be. Obviously, we're also going to kind of look back last week ago with Carl Edwards successfully quitting the Lady in Black, getting a second win there. Nice bad when you know winning that car, you know, it's a real milestone. That's one of the events in NASCAR, and it opens nice against his doing that with the Coca-Cola 600, which players. Forgot about that, as well as getting sort of a sense of how did you like how our like, all of the heritage, all the throwback, and all of the looking back that went on at the Darlington race last week. Just in terms of, you know, going back to that whole 70s field and rubbing his racing. We'll kick around some of our thoughts about that as well. And, of course, there's some fantasy chat and speculation. We're going back to the old rules package, I can say it. That we have here. And during the time, we talked about the group. More recently, we've seen Toyota development. They've kind of turned up attention. They've found let me get into the second half. The most important half now, the chase period. So the number is 347-826-964. Feel free to pick it up and give us a call. I have been thus far successful for the first few minutes here. Sidekick, I'll be there. Give us a holler. And my crew chief, Brandon, as well, do the same.
Yeah, we're here. I hope you can hear us. Everything sounds kind of choppy to me. I don't know if it's a connection or what, but I switched over to Skype. I don't know how I sound.
No, you sound good, but yeah, Uncle Mark sounds like he's like the air guns are going off around him. All that choppy.
Well,
but let me say this though. I gotta say, sitting there listening to that intro come in, man.
Sounding like that.
That intro wants me to rock out with my jock out, man.
Uh-oh.
I love that theme, man. I edited that. It was a jock.
No, I got you. You are kind of cutting in and out a little to me, too, Dave. I don't know if it's my connection or what.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, we're going to try to muddle through it, I guess.
Okay,
yeah.
Now you sound better, Mark.
All right. Well, you know, I'm messing around with my connections over here to see if there's anything I can do to kind of massage or tweak this thing so it doesn't crash like we experienced recently, in this format. Let's take a quick run around. Last week's event at Darlington, I'm just going to kick it right out there. First of all, how about the heritage? How about, you know, the reunion of the old broadcast team of Squire and Jarrett? How'd you like that retro, throwback paint schemes? Both of you, you know, kick it off. A good thing, right? I mean, it was a lot of fun last week.
Absolutely. I loved every bit of it. I was stunned. And Frat House Mikey was here, and with you and I watching it, we were all kind of in amazement how well, you know, Ken Squire, Dale Jarrett, Ned Jarrett all covered. I think they covered the race a lot better than, you know, anybody expected, because they stayed on for, I don't know, maybe 100, 120, 150 laps. They were on for a very long time. And they did a great job, and I loved all the paint jobs. I hope they do this every year. I hope the reaction was good enough from, you know, the fan base and the attendant, you know, people who attended the race live, because they had a pretty good crowd, you know, at Darlington. It looked really pretty full, you know, compared to some of the racetracks we've seen lately. And, I give it a thumbs up. I thought it was a decent race, you know, wasn't I didn't think it was a bad race. The throwback, I loved all the throwback stuff, so I give it an A from that angle for sure. What do you think there, Sidekick?
Well, you know, I heard a rumor that they were trading Confederate flags for packs of Winston.
Uh-oh.
That's how throwback they went. That's how throwback they went. They were trading Confederate flags for packs of Winston.
That's outstanding, dude. Yeah.
I had so much fun watching that race and listening to it. And what a delight to hear Ned Jarrett and Dale Jarrett broadcasting side by side. You could tell there was just a little bit of rust, you know, between Squire and Ned. But I'm not going to fault them after 15 years out of the booth.
They missed up
a couple things, but the chemistry between the two of them was there. I mean, between all three of them. And I just thought it was great. And then you had the regular guys in their 70s leisure suits. You know, I thought, you know, I liked the throwback schemes. I liked the throwback songs when they would go to commercial and come back. And, you know, they went old school with some of the, you know, some of the NBC Peacock and stuff like that. And I think overall, I thought the race was pretty good. I was a little concerned because of the tire wear, you know. As we were getting there towards the end, you know, teams were running out of tires, and I'm like, I don't know if I exactly like this package.
Mm-hmm.
Linked with the new tire pack, you know, the Kentucky low downforce package and the new tire package that Goodyear brought. But after having some time to think about it, I actually kind of liked the idea from the aspect of it added another dimension to the race that the teams had to contend with. You know, where there had to be strategy about tire usage. You had guys that were putting on, scrub tires because they knew they only had like one or two sets left, and they still had, a third of the race to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you had at least two more pits. So you were putting scuffs on, not scrubs, scuffs. So, I thought that was, it right then when I was watching the race, I was a little concerned. But like I said, after sitting back and thinking about it a little bit over the week, I kind of like that because it adds that extra, difficulty into it.
Isn't that, though, I don't know, Dave, if that was a function of the rules package, because I think we've seen this at Darlington before, where that track surface is just really hard on tires. So, I think it was maybe a combination, and we know Goodyear finally built the tire specifically for the rules package. So overall, I think it did well. I just think that surface, is a little rough down there in Darlington for whatever reason, and it's always been hard on tires.
Right, and that may be, like I said, I don't know if it was attributed to the package or what it was, but like I said, at first my initial thing was I had some concerns because did the teams really have enough tires, and stuff. But like I said, as I thought, as I had time to let it all soak in, I'm like, hey, actually, it's not that bad. So.
Yeah. The argument, I guess, a yin-yang with this rules package. And by that, I mean, if you're going to build the situation and the tire, then you're necessarily going to see more under, so you're going to see more spinning in that, and to be a complaint somewhat, Darlington track experienced a record 18 cautions because of spins. So, you give it with one hand and take it away with another. Is that about right?
Yeah, there's always going to be some sort of trade-off.
Well, it wound up being, the Edwards win. And I guess, if there were anyone that would be, sort of mad about the way the whole thing worked out, it probably would have been, maybe Harvick, only because, but for the final spin, which occurred with about 10 to go, and I believe it was, it wasn't Yealey, I got the wrong driver. I called it wrong because they've switched there. The BK driver switched cars, 26 and 23. But when the 26 finally spun, which brought out the final caution, well, that bunched everything up. And before that caution out, they had to run. And Keselowski was in the lead and was giving up. He was starting to lose the track. Had taken to join him, which were Edwards and Harvick, and it made for racing. I really like that. We were able to listen with package. I was able to shake down. We were actually making like 9 quality passes during the race, which that's got to be like a high quality pass. I think all. Obviously, because he was a proponent of the entire idea. He wanted the package quite vocally after they tried it at Kentucky that would be the right way to go. That direction we should see the whole thing go. So, the way it was, it seems right, he would have been but as I say, the cars were certainly the 22 or the 2 or the 41 or the 78 was there. And I could racing all around the track. It didn't just seem to occur in the lead, and it didn't seem to occur just in the mid round. We worked all around the track. And I mean, he was for a while. He was in early. And also some comments made by Keselowski calling out the drivers of this new pitch. If we find out, you know, our driver, quote, pretends. And interestingly, we should have similar comments. Something, not quite a diss, but maybe close when he said essentially, well, you know, the guys that normally screw up and wreck well back, and the guys that can, you know, drive cars, well, they actually did a good job, you know, driving race cars. I loved it, and I think it does separate us, your from, well, your average driver, right? It'd be nice to think of it, don't you think, in the chase?
Yeah, I agree. I like his comments, but, you know, NASCAR already has messed the whole thing up by saying they're going back to the old one. You know, I think everybody liked the new package. I it has to be a cost factor of converting cars, and, you know, the owners probably put their 2 cents in that they didn't have the time or the money, you know, to get it done in time, you know, especially during mid-season. I know major changes to the car during the season, you know, the teams, you know, they're working on the car, you know, for the following race. They don't have time to sit there and, you know, change their fleet over, you know what I mean? So I think that's why NASCAR probably decided to go back. And, you know, I applaud, you know, the guys for, you know, speaking out and saying they liked it. And, you know, hopefully it'll make for, you know, a good package overall for next year.
Well, you know, here's one thing that I noticed from several articles I read, and maybe you guys have read something from other drivers, but the drivers that are applauding the package are the drivers that run well with the package. I haven't really seen any of the, you know, the guys that are running towards the back of the pack, you know, necessarily saying how much they love this new package.
Right.
Yeah, Keselowski, who led the most laps of the race, loves it. The race winner, Carl Edwards, loves the package. You know, I think for the most part, all the Joe Gibbs guys love the package, but the Joe Gibbs guys run well with the new package. So, you know, and I saw Junior says he loves it, but, you know, and it took him a little while to get his car adjusted, and he's running towards the front, you know, running up, you know, in the mix. So, but I haven't heard anybody else really, say much about it.
Well, that's a good point. I guess you're always going to have, you know, some guys more of a proponent for it than others. I'm kind of surprised that at Hendrick Motorsports' overall performance with it, they haven't seemed to adapted, you know, really well to it at all. I mean, none of them. You know what I mean? It's hard to say what the answer is. I mean, Jimmy Johnson hasn't run for crap. You know, Jeff Gordon's, you know, right there to make the chase on point. What was that?
Nope. Did we lose Mark?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah. Ian,
okay.
Both of you are cutting out on
me. No. I'm in. Yeah. Bad name. I'm trying to some ads. I have a handful of ads open, and I did it. I'm trying to close. How cute you are. You hear me?
Very, it's cut. It was okay,
hello.
You know, getting open,
hello.
You know, at least understandable for a little
bit.
Is there
anybody out there?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it, what the issue is here with Direct Connect and, or with a. Block.
Yep. Well, I think I'm out.
I'm going to try and come in another way and see if I can't make this better. All right. I am.
Well, it might just be you and me here, Psychic. I'm not
there,
sure.
There we go. Am I? Can you hear me better now?
Oh, it's out. It's. Did you come in via Skype?
I'm in Skype now, yeah.
Yeah, I came in via Skype as well. That's the
okay.
way. Because this Direct Connect, this Direct Connect bullshit from.
Blog
Talk Radio is obviously not working, and they're out to screw everybody again this evening. So Skype is the way you got to jump in. That's number one.
Yep.
That's the first thing you got to do. So anyhow.
I think I'm back. Am I back?
Oh,
it's much better, and it's much better.
Awesome.
It's not cutting in and out. Yep. I will back away here. This has been. Blog Talk Radio has really outdone themselves, I must tell you, in the past 24 hours. I'm blasting them again over on their Facebook page, but they refuse to respond to me as per normal. So just wanting everybody to know. I'll back away.
Oh.
Well, now we're hoping to get Brandon back. I don't know. I guess we've lost Brandon, evidently, in our hiccuping here with Blog Talk Radio. However, to your point, and I know there was a point that you were making, and I had opened the race results from last week, and I hear what you're saying, Sidekick, as far as like, yeah, you're right. The folks that are going to run, to the win, the folks that are running top five, they're running top 10, they're running top 15, they're going to be the guys coming out, or the gal, coming out saying, hey, this package is great. I love this. This is really the way we want to do it. But in a way, I kind of applaud, you know, the idea that it did cross over. It wasn't just like the Toyota guys that said it. I mean, we did hear it from Penske. Then we did hear it from Junior representing Chevy. And we heard it from Stewart representing Chevy. So the whole package idea and the lower downforce kind of did cross over all of the series and all of the manufacturers. It wasn't as though one, particular brand had an edge over the other. What it does do, though, I guess, is it helps to identify who the real wheel men are, who are truly able to drive a car with skill at high speed on bad tires with no grip and the car's getting away from you for extended period. And that, you know, that does sort of separate contenders from pretenders, a la what Keselowski had to say. So I liked it. You know, I kind of liked it. And again, I know we'll have more, you know, potential for spinning and that kind of thing if and when this new package comes through, and I guess we'll find out. They're supposed to announce the 2016 rules package following this weekend at Richmond. So we'll hear if they're going to continue this kind of racing next year, and we certainly all agree, we hope something like it will continue. But
I'm looking forward to
where we are is not going to be terribly exciting, huh?
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see good old Smoke. Yeah, maybe that's been part of Smoke's problem, is this package kind of takes it away from him. Whereas you make the cars a little more swirly, more like a dirt track feel, kind of, and he might be running. He might start running good now.
I agree, and I think you hit on a very, very good. That's a perfect example, I think, Sidekick, of exactly maybe the kind of driver that should be competing in, NASCAR as we know it, rather than being in these cars that are aero-dependent, locked down to the track with the high drag, and completely getting away from the kind of racing that, Tony Stewart is able to do. So, I don't know. It really was a lot of fun, the whole Darlington thing. And echoing what you both said, it was great hearing old rock and roll music. My goodness, they even found a way to resurrect that old Coke commercial. Now, we'd all seen it a couple times too many by the end of the night.
That was awesome. I love that they brought that commercial back.
Right. I mean, initially it was great to see, Mean Joe Green and the old Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, that was a hoot. Now listen.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought that was a nice little touch for the whole shooting match there. I think it added, it was cool because you could tell it wasn't in high def. It was clearly in the old standard def. You had the bars on the side, and they didn't try to make it look modern and new. They went with, this is what it was, and this is what it looks like. So I liked the way they did that. That was nice. I think that was the only retro commercial, though. Did anybody else notice any other ones?
I didn't. I did not. I agree with you.
No, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I was hoping for, you can't fool Mother Nature, or something like that, from the 70s, an old margarine commercial. I'm with you. It would have been nice had they been able to manage something else. But evidently, that was brought by Coca-Cola. That wasn't actually brought by NBC. So I guess that...
I'm surprised, I'm surprised Budweiser or Miller didn't try to roll something, like a retro NASCAR-themed commercial. Mm-hmm. Because they've both been in, NASCAR forever. How many commercials do we see for Budweiser and Miller during the broadcast? So, I'm kind of surprised neither one of them threw one of those out there. That would have been one I would have, thought might have had a chance at it.
I would agree. Now, listen, Brandon, let's mention this, because I went searching all this week and I didn't find any mention of a very telling thing that you noticed while the race was running last week, and that was the conspicuous absence of Darrell Waltrip during the entire Heritage Living Legend retro weekend that went on at Darlington. And you mentioned it. I immediately thought, boy, you're absolutely right. How is it possible that he wasn't here for this event? I mean, notwithstanding it's NBC versus Fox, as you mentioned, rightfully so on Sunday. I mean, they do kind of cooperate, the Fox and the NBC networks, because they've been sharing coverage all year long. How is it that DW was missing? And you know what? I couldn't find anything all week long. Nobody even mentioned it. I find that even more remarkable now that we've gone the whole week. Sidekick, were you surprised at all that Darrell Waltrip was not included in the Darlington, Retro Living Legend weekend?
No, I don't know if Sidekick's still there. He might have got excised here, but
okay.
I will say this. I like you, went looking. I went to NASCAR on Fox, some of the pages, and I couldn't find anything. And the funny thing I found is they had just about every living Hall of Famer there. I can't think of one they didn't have there, sort of, Darryl. And when Junior Johnson was introduced as a car owner, that's when it stuck out to me like a sore thumb, because Junior Johnson was the car owner for Darryl Waltrip's 3 championship. And you know, they made a very big deal of introducing Junior Johnson, who was a driver, not a great driver. He had like 50 wins. I mean, I don't know that he ever won the championship. And he had 50 wins at a time when they had more races. So, you know, that number may sound sort of impressive, but back then, you know, in that day, it wasn't as impressive as like 50 wins a day does, because
right.
You know, there's only 30-some. They used to run 70. They'd run, you know, Wednesday night. They'd run Saturday, Sunday. You know, they'd have two, three shows a week, you know,
wow.
back
mm-hmm.
prior to the quote-unquote modern era of cup, you know, whatever, Sprint Cup racing, then Winston Cup racing. So
right.
anyway, my point is, when they introduced Junior Johnson and he's there, and, you know, that's when Darryl Waltrip missing was absolutely apparent to me. You know, I don't understand it. I don't get why, you know, I don't know if it was an issue of, you know, like, you know, you had said with the networks or what. But, I mean, they were cross-promoting each other, you know, right before the switch. You know, so I don't understand, you know, I just don't understand it. I don't know if, you know, Darryl Waltrip might be, you know, I don't know what, I haven't heard his status on Fox for next year. We already know, you know, McReynolds is gone from the main broadcast, which I don't think any of us like. I think
no.
we all prefer
yeah.
him staying there and maybe
yeah,
get rid of Darryl.
Kick,
but...
Mikey. Kick Mikey to the curb.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of, you know, issue or his status is in flux too, or, you know, I don't know what. I don't know
yeah.
why. That's why,
it
you
could,
know, my...
You're right. It could be something very pedestrian, Brandon, as
right.
you know, maybe this was his week to take vacation, and he was simply,
yeah, sure.
you know, that's where it was. It wasn't anything, you know, hard-boiled. But, yes, I agree with you. I found it interesting. In my research, I did see where he had written for, because he writes, obviously, DW writes on the Fox on NASCAR site. So I saw his
right.
article, and he did an article kind of, you know, talking about what to expect for Darlington. So that was interesting. But, yes, his actual presence was missed, I think. And the fact he was overlooked and unmentioned is, I don't know. To me, it's just absolutely mystifying. That's the only word I can think of. Because after you said it, it really dawned on me how absolutely right you are.
Well, I kind of attributed it to the fact that he's a Fox commentator. From
yeah, but they cross over. They cross over. That's the thing. They've crossed over Fox into NBC. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be something that simple, I guess.
Well, one thing that we got to point out here, though, is if you remember when NBC signed on to do this, replacing, you know, ESPN and TNT last year, they even kind of made a point of saying how Fox and NBC were going to work together to promote, you know, NASCAR as a whole. So, you know, I tend to think it's more something personal towards Darryl's situation. Maybe,
right.
you know, like I said, maybe there's contention with him and Fox. Maybe there's something, maybe NASCAR is pissed at him for some reason. I don't know what the answer is. To me, it was just blatantly obviously an omission compared to, you know, when you see all these other guys and, you know, they made a point of introducing every Hall of Famer. And Terry Labonte, who's an inductee this year, was the Grand Marshal. So, you know, I just found it to be, you know, a little odd. And like you pointed out, there's no mention of it anywhere. So I guess it's just going to be one of those things that we'll just maybe never know the answer to.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he goes right up there with who shot JFK, maybe. Hopefully, as we heard, though, because this was widely supported and received such good feedback, this will be something to look forward to. You know, it's certainly a good way, I think, for NASCAR perhaps to extend an olive branch, perhaps to, you know, maybe build a little bridge to some of those old timers that have, you know, up and left the sport. When we talk about, you know, a Grand Slam event, obviously, you know, Daytona 500, the Coca-Cola 600, those come to mind. Well, this one right there as well, the Southern 500. So hopefully, you know, there will be a reason for some of the old timers to at least for one more weekend than they have in the past, choose to look for a stock car race, you know, NASCAR sanctioned, and tune in next year. And hopefully they'll keep a good thing going, because I thought it was a heck of a lot of fun, as we all have shared. And if anybody's out there and you want to share your opinion, feel free to do that if you can hear us. If you are breathing, and if you have a phone, pick it up and call 347-826-9964 and let us know what you thought. One other thought, I guess, from the race, you know, I know the sound drop is probably, the sound clip is available out there. I saw it on YouTube. Jeff Gordon, here he comes. He's running down pit road, and what does he say on the radio? But, hey, I hate to tell on him because he's my teammate and all. Of course, he didn't say that, but, you know, that 48 car, boy, oh, boy, I hate to tell on him, but, you know, they were real strict in the driver's meeting about where you're supposed to line up and how you're supposed to enter in here, and boy, oh, boy, wow, how about that, huh? That's the car owner calling out his own car.
We all kind of questioned that, you know, being not only being teammates, but as you just said, Jeff Gordon's been a 50% owner in that car since the day the 48 hit the track. And he's sitting there, you know, he's sitting there the whole time, you know.
He's calling him out.
Calling him out.
What do you say, sidekick? Good on Jeffy for doing that?
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when it's funny, though. When push comes to shove, and, you know, and he got essentially cut off, you know, by Johnson, you know, hey, dude, what are you doing to me?
Right.
I own half your car and I'm your teammate. So.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I actually think it's kind of funny when you think about it, especially how a lot of these teams are, you know, they try to promote working together and all this other stuff, and then something like that happens. That just makes you want to laugh. And yeah, I do. I give him props for you know, saying something about it, because, you know, if it was something they stressed in the driver's meeting, and, you know, he's basically flat out ignoring it.
Yeah,
I'd be a little annoyed too. Why does everybody else got to, you know, come in at a certain area, and he's allowed to, you know, skirt that? I don't know about that. I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, well, it certainly did take everybody back for a minute, just because we kind of, you know, we tend to sit back and look at that Hendrick group particularly as sort of mad geniuses, evil geniuses. You know, they all kind of circle wagons over there, and they look out for each other, and they kind of, you know, what would I say? They're almost secretive about, you know, they covet their information, they covet their secrets, and, you know, all for one for all. But, oh, man, wait a second, trouble in paradise, because the 24 decided he didn't much care for the way that Jimmy Johnson was muscling in. You know, I'm just looking at the qualifying leaderboard here for tomorrow night's race. Interestingly enough, Jimmy Johnson is the only Hendrick up there in the top 12. Gordon made the cut into the 24, but he couldn't make the top 12. And Casey Kane made the cut into the 24, but not the top 12. And unfortunately, Junior didn't even make the top 25. I believe he's not far behind. He may be starting from 25 or 26. But Hendrick, I don't know, man. You know, they got to start dialing it up. You know, this is the time of year we're used to seeing Gordon run real super strong, right, Brandon? We're used to seeing the 48 and Chad Knauss, they start doing their Tom Brady, Bill Belichick routine, and they start ripping everything up and just shredding other teams to pieces. We haven't seen it, man. I mean, I'm not mad about it. I like to see the Joe Gibbs and the Toyotas coming on. I'd love to see, you know, the Ganassi guys both make it somehow in there. It looks like for the first time we're gonna be able to get the one car in, Jamie McMurray. He's missed every time there's been an extension, like they've increased the field from 10 drivers to 12. He always just misses. You know what I mean? He's had the worst luck in trying to make the chase in the 10 years or that now 11 years of its existence. So he's going to make it. What up? What up with the Hendrick boys? I mean, wow. You know.
Well, maybe it's just, you know, as Sidekick's pointed out in the past, you know, they like to tinker once they're, you know, locked in and stuff and try other stuff. I'll be real interested to see that first race after Richmond. If all of a sudden the 48 car is running up front and being at least, you know, involved, you know, or, you know, a contender, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So,
right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if they've been trying stuff, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I guess now is the time. We're going to get through it to tomorrow. Now, of course, as I speak, we are running the Xfinity race. They are following the pace car around the laps tonight, the warm-up laps tonight. And, you know, I guess, you know, that's part of my, I guess, over the pit wall. I could do a little series updating here. As far as, like, the Xfinity series. Tonight they're going to be running the 250, Virginia 529, College Savings 250. They're running that at Richmond. Next week, of course, they'll be heading out west. They're going to Chicagoland, which is, of course, be the next stop for the Cuppers as well, and it'll be stop number one for the chase for the Sprint Cup. Interesting, you know, qualifying leaderboard for that, you know, wow, there's Kyle Busch, there's Joey Logano. That's your pole sitters tonight in Xfinity. But actually, there aren't really too many others as far as Cup guys running, which I think is kind of fun because it does give a chance, as we've said many times. We'd like to see these other guys get their, you know, their chances, the Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, you know, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez. These guys are all, you know, they're committed to that series, and that's where they get their points, and hopefully they'll get their shot at a championship. So it'll be interesting to see. The front leader poll in tonight's Xfinity race, though, once again, it'll be Kyle Busch, and joining him on the front row there will be Joey Logano. But, you know, hey, all I can say is, you know, let's go Landon Castle. You know, I guess that's my take on it. Now, over in the truck series, you know, let's see, what can I say? I've got my notes here in front of me. The truck series hasn't run actually since August 30th. That was like the last weekend that we were, I guess, on together, where all three series ran. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, that took place up north at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Eric Jones got the victory. That was his second. And that was a road course. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. He was followed by defending series champ Matt Crafton in that race. And Ben Kennedy, Daniel Hamrick, ace road driver Alex Tagliani, that they rounded out the top five. And that actually was a very, very fun race to watch. It's fun to see the trucks, number one. I like the trucks myself because it's a smaller field and they're kind of harder to drive. And at the same time, there it was on a road course. So it made it that much more fun, too, because it wasn't just an oval. Now, with the win, interestingly, in that truck series, Eric Jones leapfrogged Matt Crafton. And he holds the lead in the series by, get this, how about 3 points? Wow. No lead is safe when it's only, no lead is safe when it's only 3 points. Tyler Reddick had been the leader prior, and now he finds himself in third with Crafton there right in the middle. So that's going to continue to be a lot of fun, that truck series, and I do enjoy it. I've got to say, I do follow it, and that's why I try and mention it here on the show from week to week. Now they're going to be off, and they too are heading to Chicagoland. So next week, it's going to be, you know, pretty much a full schedule of all three National Series heading to Chicagoland. And interestingly, Brandon, we only go there once for the Cuppers, right? It's the lead race of the chase, but we only do it once a year.
Well, I'm glad they don't go twice, because that's one of your typical cookie-cutter tracks. You know, it's Kansas. It's, you know, Kentucky. It's, you know, all these tracks that are all the same, and it's just another one of those, you know, mile and a half kind of tri-oval thing. So I'm glad they only have one, I'll be honest with you. I wish they cut some of these mile and a half tracks. I think there's too many. You know, we've beat the drum repeatedly here for more road courses. You know,
right.
I wouldn't mind seeing more short tracks. I know not everybody's a big fan of the short track racing. I personally love the short track racing. I think it's the, you know, it's the roots of NASCAR. And, you know, I think it, I don't know, maybe it's just me. And they used to have a lot more short tracks than they do. So, you know, they're clearly a, you know, disappearing breed, I guess. But I think I like having a little bit of variety, and Chicagoland never really thrilled me. So, you know, I'm kind of glad. The only thing I will say about Chicagoland, and this will be an interesting trick to the rule package, I guess. Kevin Harvick owns Chicagoland, and Kevin Harvick's kind of been not as dominant with the low downforce package. I'm not saying he's been out to lunch like Hendrick, but he hasn't been leading the most laps and winning races. So, you know, I'll be interested to see if all of a sudden we see Kevin Harvick, you know, leading half the laps again, you know, in Chicagoland. I think that'll be an interesting, a telling point into, you know, the rule package and what effect it's going to have on the field.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it could be a Harbinger for sure. And what do we have, like five, right? I think at least five of them are mile and a half, right, in the chase. So
yeah,
right.
I think that sounds about right.
We're going to be beating a dead horse as far as the package, which we already know. And, yeah, potentially, I guess we'll go back to seeing, you know, maybe what we saw in the beginning, which was a lot of Chevy dominance, a lot of, you know, stronger horsepower, match the throttle to the floor all the way around and that kind of thing. And I don't know, not terribly compelling, is it? But, All right, well, hopefully. Now, Sidekick, give us a shout-out. Are you with us out there? Are you breathing? We haven't heard from you in a couple minutes, and we want to get ready to switch some gears and talk fantasy. I don't know. Do we have Sidekick? Is there any,
Looks like he's on, but
yeah, but
we don't
I don't
hear
anything. This I will say, we're not going to have an NHRA update because the NHRA will likewise not return until next weekend. That'll be September 18th through the 20th, and they're going to be out at ZMAX Dragway in North Carolina. And, of course, Brad Health Mike will return, and he'll give us an update when we all come back next week. That'll be our more or less regular Sunday, next Sunday, on the 20th of September at 11 a.m. So we'll be looking forward to getting a complete update of the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series next week. However, you know, I'm not going to lie. I know you guys watched it, and I did too. And I'll just say this as far as that Memorial Day weekend. You know, tip my hat to Morgan Lewis. Tip my hat to Jack Beckman, Erica Enders, Jerry Savoy. Those were the podium guys, and that was a lot of fun. And it'll be fun because, like I say, I'm sure next week we'll have Brad Health Mike to give us a complete breakdown as we head into the countdown to the champion. And that'll be six events between now and, middle of November. Sounds about right, Brandon? Right? Something like that.
Yeah, something in that area. They may end up at the end of October. I don't know if they actually go into November. I'm not quite sure on the, you know, the exact time frame. But, yeah, that's about right. I think it's six races in the countdown. And they have a elimination kind of thing, very similar to NASCAR, where after, you know, a couple of rounds, you know, like I think it's like every two they cut off, you know, a couple, and then it comes down, you know, to the final couple in each class. So it's a very compelling, you know, kind of thing. I think kind of that's where NASCAR got the, you know, the elimination part of their chase. I think they kind of copied it off of NHRA because NHRA has been doing it a little longer. So
how's
we'll see.
My girl,
I think it's going to be good.
How's my girl Alexia doing?
Hey, there you go. There's Sidekick.
Yeah, finally. Okay. All right, Sidekick
she
made it back
just,
in with us. I'll tell you what. I think we've got a very a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Russell, our friend Russell Lovett from down in Georgia is on the line, and I want to bring Russell in for maybe just a couple of minutes here. Russell, how are you, buddy? It's nice to chat with you, and thanks for giving us a call here on the Race Trim Motorsports Hour.
Hey, it's always a good time to be a part of y'all. Like I said, it's a Friday night deal, and everything looks rich. Like I said, Bush is getting pulled for the night, but she also made it to the chase, something I told y'all that NASCAR was going to make sure she made the chase regardless. But did have to wonder with that, though, say Steve Park started driving again and you got back into the Cup. Many, many years ago, he got knocked out of racing from having an injury. Would that mean he would get a chance to sit there and make a race for the Cup in just a couple of races? Well, you'd have to look at how they're going to compare their gray area on stuff like this. Like I said, well, he was out too long or what. Just to me, they opened up a real gray area there for anybody that's been injured over the last couple of years. How come they couldn't use something like this to try to get themselves back into the chase?
Well, it's a very good question, but I'll tell you, you know, I as far as like the medical exemption, I don't know if I really have a problem with it. You know, I guess from the standpoint, you know, when you look at somebody like Kyle Busch didn't just win one race and get in the chase. I mean, my goodness, that man dominated and won like four races. And, you know, were he to win like tomorrow, that would be five races and that would lead all Cup drivers. So I don't know. I tend to lean on the side of, at least from the medical exemption in Kyle Busch's case, I tend to give that guy credit for having won that many races in as few opportunities as he had. I don't know. Anybody else?
Well, see,
no,
he only
I agree with
you. Well, see, he only had to get into the top 30. If you look at it, probably I'm going to say from 25 on back, I'm mostly starting part drivers. So to really and truly, or maybe 30th on back within the chase for starting part drivers. But that, it's kind of easy to move up into the standings, really, because you'd be drivers doing the starting part. It's easy because all you had to do is just finish to move up.
No, I get you. Yeah. I get you. I understand mathematically what you're saying, but I don't know. I give the guy a great deal of credit because, like I say, were he strictly running for points, then I guess, yeah, it would take some of the bite out of it. But not only did he – I mean, he got the points because he won four races. I mean, that by itself – I think if anybody that wins four races, you know, if wins do matter the way they say, I got to say the guy had four aces right there. I mean, talk about four races, that's four aces, no?
Yeah, I agree. He deserves to be there one way or the other. I'm glad he made it, you know, this way. I'm glad he won some races, and I'm glad he made the 30 in points. So there's no, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's cheapened, I guess, is the way I'm looking at it. I'm glad he made it the way he did, and he did it, like you said, very impressively. I mean, clicking off those four were just, you know, unbelievable. I mean, and he won it. All kinds of tracks. I mean, we're not just talking like one. He was
right
on a road course in there.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he earned it.
Yep.
It wasn't
mm-hmm.
it wasn't cheap. So, I give Kyle Busch props. I've never been a Kyle Busch fan, but he impressed me the way he handled the, you know, the whole thing coming back and running as good as he did and winning the races he did. You know, and he did it right away. I mean, he didn't waste any time. I mean, he was back in, and he was up front. So, you know, that could, to me, I got to respect him for that. He's probably one of the, if not the best, quote-unquote, wheelman on the track at the moment. I mean, how can you take not give it to him with what he's done? I mean, I could be wrong, you know, but I think that's what you got to give it to him.
Yeah,
so
I
what do you do about the man?
Mm-hmm.
What about the one that might be 13th or 14th that could have really and truly deserved to have that move up spot that ran all season and really and truly has been there too? So, I mean, this guy's getting bumped and he's ran right there at that give spot and he's got a guy that's coming in to sitting there just 30th in points and there he is sitting 13th or 14th getting knocked out of it. And this is a man that's ran the whole season with or without injuries, but he still ran the whole season. He still stayed there. I mean, you're knocking out somebody that really and truly deserves as well that's been racing all season. So you're knocking out a guy to let somebody else in that was back from an injury. So you're still knocking somebody out. If it was you and you was getting bumped out because of Kyle Busch only running 10, 12 races, and you've been running all season, but you're not that because of that, how would you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then I guess the argument goes to what? What would you say the fair thing to do then would be, Russell, that you've got to run a minimum number of races? Is that what you would say then? In other words, like Kyle missed 11 races due to injury. Now, let's not forget, that was due to injury. That wasn't his choice. It wasn't as though he went out and got himself into trouble with the law. He didn't go out and get himself suspended from NASCAR because he was doing something dumb or taking some prohibited, you know, substance. He was injured. So he was legitimately out because of the very sport that he was racing, okay? But what would be the fair thing to do then? Should they run a minimum of, what would be the number? They've got to run a minimum of 20 races in order to qualify. I mean, how do you do it then if not on points and if not on wins?
Well, see, the thing about it, a freak accident can occur and injure anybody. Does this mean next year if somebody else gets hurt, they're going to say, well, no, you can't get that what we gave Kurt Busch because it was different for him than it was for you. You got to remember, he was not hurt in a cup call for one.
I agree. I agree with you.
For that matter, he could have broke his leg tripping on an escalator at Walmart.
I hear you.
So, I mean,
well,
you
had to
sit there and kind of.
ACL playing basketball this week. So, it's
yeah, how about it? Yeah, how about that? They're not athletes.
Yeah, I mean.
Though. Well, no,
you
know, Russell.
Well, but
point
the thing
well
with
taken,
Bush,
Russell. From the standpoint of, I said that myself, you know, that was my first inclination as well. Well, you know, wait a second now. Why are we going to give him an exemption if, in fact, he was racing at the lower series? If you're declared for Cup, well, then, doggone it, you ought to be ready to run every Cup race. And if you're going to run all the series races and you take your chance then that you may not be able to make it back into Cup. So I kind of agree with you from that standpoint, but that was when I was concerned they were just going to give him an exemption on everything. When they said to him, no, there's still, you've got to make up the points difference, to me that still represented a legitimate challenge, and I think he had a heck of a challenge, and I give him credit that he succeeded.
Well, I think the one thing you got to look at, though, is Kyle Busch was hurt at a NASCAR sanctioned event. You know, while it wasn't lower series, it was a NASCAR event. You know, it's not like you're talking like Denny Hamlin. He's playing a pickup game or whatever of, you know, basketball. You know, it supposedly went into overtime because it was, you know, that thrilling, and he tears his ACL. You know, or say Tony Stewart when he broke his legs in a sprint car. You know, this it at least it was a NASCAR event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, point well taken. Now listen, before we let you go there, Russell, and we're all going to have to wrap it up, gentlemen, I got bad news. We got about 60 seconds to go. What we want to do, we don't have time for all of the NASCAR fantasy chat tonight, but what we can do is everybody give me your Eat My Dust race pick winner for Richmond, and we've got 30 seconds to do it, so kick it off, Sidekick. Who's the Eat My Dust? Who's going to win this week at Richmond?
I'm going with Gordon to get a win and get in the chase, or lock himself in the chase.
We got one for the Gordon. What do you say, Brandon? Who do you like?
Tony Stewart. I'm going on a limb.
Gotta love it. We're going with Stewart. There's another one swinging for the fences. You're right. How about it, Russell? Who do you like?
Junior, he's already proven he's being fastest in practice and everything. He's one of the fastest cars there. Richmond has always been good to him. Going with Junior in 88.
We're going with Junior. Frat House Mike, do we have a pick for Frat House Mike? Do we know?
Yes, I'm going with Kyle Busch.
He's going with Kyle to win it all.
All right, that's it. We got to get out of here, gentlemen. We're going to try it again next week. Thanks so much, everybody that's listened. Thanks for calling in, Russell. We appreciate it, as always. Enjoy your racing, folks. And until next time, bye-bye.